Proverbs chapter 11. I'm actually only going to use a couple of scriptures out of this. I will say this, that I'm noticing more and more in Proverbs as I look at it, as I study it, as I read it. A lot of Proverbs deal with something that is, it is one of the themes in Proverbs, because it's an ongoing thing. It's something that keeps coming up. So it keeps coming up, so it keeps having to be addressed. It's kind of like raising children. Don't you wish that you could have told them one time and they got it? Well, you can look at Proverbs and tell. They say it one time, and then they say it again, and they say it again, and say it again, and say it again, and say it again, and, and it continues throughout the word to be a theme for us. And it's my mouth. It's my mouth. Mine. I'm not even preaching to you right now, except for my mouth is like your mouth. It has to be controlled. Except for I have to control it. And you have to control yours. And that's not an easy thing to do, is it? And all the honest people said, yeah. chapter 11, verse 3. And the first couple of words right there give us a word that plays back into my mouth: integrity. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. I hope nobody gets up, gets mad, storms out of here. I'm reading out of the NIV. Ooh. Nobody threw something at me. That's really why I've got this right here. You know, start using a different version. When I was down in Alabama, there was a church that had on the side of their building 1611, King James Version, wonderful version. But I know somebody that went to that church and found out that even, it wasn't even just King James 1611 that they drew the line on. They added another line. Guess what it was? Black cover. You've ran from Alabama too. I mean, I got a burgundy cover. I got a strip of camouflage duct tape in the back, and I got wild turkey feathers as my markers. So I'm obviously not on the straight and narrow. I'm tied into this world and its lust thereof. It would be very scary for me to preach those hardest lines against people, because that says if I can stand you up straight enough, you won't fall over backwards. It also says you'll probably never be quite as good as me. And when you think you are, come see me and I'll find something else that you need to fix. So this version right here talks about the integrity, and it talks about the faithful versus the unfaithful, and it uses a word called duplicity. We'll get to that one in a second. But integrity, I'm going to give you what two definitions are. If you look it up, this is just what came up on my little phone here. The quality of being honest. Honest is a quality. Yeah, I'll agree. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. A sentence associated with that is, he is known to be a man of integrity. Definition number two, the state of being whole and undivided, upholding territorial integrity and national sovereignty. That's a little sentence right there. Whole and undivided, honest, strong moral principles, uprightness, a man of integrity, but the way I learned it and the way it stuck with me is somebody said, you know, what integrity really is, John, it's just it's what you do when no one else is looking. It's real easy to have integrity in the crowd, especially if it's a crowd that matters to you. Now, if you're in some mosh pit banging your head against somebody else, integrity doesn't matter that much. You may have wished someone would have obeyed a natural boundary around you. But integrity is what you do when no one is looking. But there's an even better definition than that, because that implies that there will be times in your life when nobody's looking. Only problem with that is Proverbs 15, verse 3. It says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, watching over the good and the evil. So there's never a time when no one is looking. There may be a time when no human is looking, but God is not like us, and He's always watching. That should make me be real circumspect about integrity in my life and what I do because God is watching. Amen? The integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful, so they're not in the, you've just completely switched categories. The unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. That it is a scripture that is used, that word, not a scripture, the word duplicity in this version is only used twice in the whole Bible, once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, duplicity means a perverseness, a perversity, a crookedness. So the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed because of their crookedness. So let's use that word in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it means craftiness or trickery. So what this scripture has to do with is people who would like you to believe and present themselves that they're living their lives one way, but in fact, they are not. Problem with that. I promise you, you have the ability to fool me. I promise you, you do. And in my gifting as a pastor, I will actually gift you that ability as a default setting. I have learned through experiences, I'm not as on my guard all the time as I should be, because I have a pastoral gifting inside of me. That gifting seeks out the very best of you. It gives grace ahead of time. It's just, I'm not saying it's a strength either. I promise you, sometimes it's a weakness. Sometimes you'll see something, and you may have been on the more protective than I would, and I drift towards, well, let's try a little mercy here first. I'm not saying it's always the best thing. I'm just telling you that's my tendency to go that way. And it may not always work out for me except for the grace of the Lord watches over us. Am I boring you yet? So let me put it like this. And I've said this since I think I started Proverbs this year. I think I said this the very first Sunday in January that I preached, was that we cannot afford to live with a foot, and I drew like a line down the middle, and I've got a line right here. I cannot afford to live with a foot in two kingdoms. More than one preacher has fooled more than one congregation doing that. He's in this kingdom. He's in the kingdom. He's in the kingdom. He's in the kingdom. And then the news shows up and, uh-oh, he got arrested being in the other kingdom. But I thought he was in this kingdom. But they're saying he's not. Where was he? When all the facts roll, he had a foot in two kingdoms. And we can be destroyed because of duplicity. If we skip down to verse 6, it says this, the righteousness of the upright delivers them. By the way, again, that's his righteousness, not ours. But the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Trapped by evil desires. Some of you got to take part in a wonderful little breakfast or donuts and pastries and coffee yesterday morning at Matt and Jennifer Harriman's house. It was wonderful. The day was perfect for it. We even had this massive choir of bugs singing just for us. They sang the whole time without letting up, so much so that their eyes were red. It was incredible. Matt and Jennifer, they just went beyond setting that up. I thought it was amazing. They had this wonderful breakfast for us, and as I made my way around talking to different ones, I got stuck for a little while, not a bad way, in a good way. I got stuck talking to Alan. If you want to get stuck talking to somebody, Alan's a good person to get stuck talking to. But somehow or other, we got to talking about trapping. And he told me some stories, and I'm saving some of those stories. He gave me some unbelievable ammunition. Let me just tell you this. Don't mess with Alan. Don't mess with him. You can be fooled. Don't mess with Alan. But he told me about how, and this might give you a little bit of insight. He was talking about those foot traps that clamp. They're like two C's and they come together like that. Not a bear trap, but because they're smooth, but they could just get these little pesky little animals. And they were actually trying to trap these groundhogs up in North Carolina. And they were catching some of them. But he said, as a boy, We would pop one of those traps and set it, and then try to spring it with our hand. It's got a little plate down in it, trying to see if they're faster than a groundhog. Which old groundhog? You just like tap, oh, you know. Y'all like that? That looked just like a groundhog, didn't it? But can you imagine trying to be fast enough? Sitting a Karate Kid, you know. You know, fast enough to hit that plate and spring that trap and get your hand back out in time. Pain becomes our teacher. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Now, you would think, By Alan's little episodes, like Alan, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why would you do that? But then when it comes to our own evil desires, not understanding the trappage of it, we still, do we not? That's a foot in two kingdoms, folks. That is literally a foot in two kingdoms, and we all do it if we're not very careful. We can do it with our mouth. We can do it with our thoughts. We can do it with our actions. So, yes, we can. But it's trapping us nonetheless. In Ephesians, and I know I've preached this over and over, I've talked about Ephesians and Romans, where it talks about a nature that we all have. And the reason that nature is so important for us is that if you understand the nature of a thing, you should not be surprised by its actions. That sounds, that's one of those definitions that sounds really good. If I understand the nature of a thing, I wouldn't be surprised by the actions or the results that take place. We're not one of those churches that believes in handling snakes. And if we ever do, y'all know I wasn't the pastor here anymore. Not doing that. I would not do that with a poisonous snake or a non-poisonous snake. I wouldn't do it. It's not worth the point. But if I had a rattlesnake in my hand and I'm sitting here messing with it and it pops me, no one's going to be surprised by that, are you? Is there anybody that'd be like, I can't believe that guy held a snake and it bit him. It's never happened before. Everybody would think, you got what you deserve. You asked for it. A matter of fact, if I was holding a snake right now, y'all would look at me and they're like, y'all hear it's rattle rattling like, Pastor John, you're about to die. It would just be like the show's about to happen and you're watching it. You would be in full expectation of me to get bit, wouldn't you? Why? Because when you understand, none of y'all, well, Brent's been bit by a poisonous snake. Yeah, Bigfoot there for several weeks, right? When you understand the nature of a thing, you're not surprised by what happens afterwards. When I learned that Brent got bit by a copperhead on his foot, and when I saw his foot and saw the ink marks around it where the initial, like the poison's gone this far, and I see that it had gone well past that, and his foot had swollen up like a basketball, I wasn't surprised, but I was like, gee whiz. Now wonder why it did you eat some, are you allergic to broccoli, Brent? I understood the nature of a thing. I wasn't surprised after that. So we have a nature. We're born with it, every one of us. And we're born with this nature. So if you're born with this nature, born with it, it's in you, what do you default to? You default to the sinful nature. But if you have become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a new default setting. Spiritual nature. My conduct is now a spiritual conduct. My actions reflect Jesus. If I'm a sinful man, my actions reflect an enemy, reflect an influence, at the very least, of Satan in my life. And I have not broken into this because an act has not taken place to replace my nature. This is an exchange too, by the way. This is part of the exchange that we have. When he saves us, he actually gives us a new nature. So here's the problem. We try to fix this because we want to get to a better place in our life and we want our actions to be better and we want our desires and our cravings to be better and we want to be believable for people. But we can't get by an order that is established in God's Word. And it says this, your nature produces cravings. This is in Romans chapter 8. It's also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. But Romans chapter 8, several verses down, it talks about it. Therefore, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. No, I'm telling you the wrong way. Therefore. There is therefore, yeah, that's part of it. But that's a different passage. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on and talks about that. But the therefore is because what he's done for us. And we learn about that in chapter 7. And when Paul's talking about all the things that I do, I don't want to do them. The things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't end up doing those. He says that plainly. He says there is sinful conduct in my life. I don't want to do that sinful conduct. I want to do this spiritual conduct, but I find myself doing this one. And he said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Then he says, "Thanks be unto God." But the problem isn't the body. Because even when you get saved, the body's in trouble. When you get saved, the flesh is the flesh. The flesh still wants to default back to here. Your nature produces desires. Your desires produce your conduct. Just the way it happens. Okay? I've said that many, many times before. So the fix for it, yes, of course, is Jesus. But the fix also is a renewed mind in Christ. Because my mind goes there first. We know this. All of my actions that I do, my mind goes there first. So you're probably wondering what this fine little cartoon lady is doing right here. Who recognizes? If you you just told everybody you're at least 45 years old. Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, Nancy. Nancy was a cartoon script character, comic strip character. And your newspaper with Peanuts and Doonesbury and however, the Phantom, however. I used to love to look at those. And I would follow them along and see their progress. But Nancy was a character that wasn't like an ongoing story, like the Phantom was an ongoing story. Nancy was more like Charlie Brown, more like situational things happen. But the thing that you knew about Nancy was that all her life, Nancy struggled with her weight. She had struggles. She had struggles with self-esteem. Nancy had problems getting a clear picture of who she was. And it played out in her life. And when those old comic strips, they were in frames. If you were to even that one out, I would say, okay, there's a frame, and then there's a frame, and there's a frame, and we'd probably sit about six evenly spaced frames in that. As a child, I've always thought of this comic strip, Nancy, because for whatever reason, it stuck with me. And Nancy said one day, she said, "I'll go to the grocery store." Next frame is, "I'll go to the grocery store, but I won't go to the candy aisle." Next frame is, "I'll go to the candy aisle, but I will not buy any candy." Next frame, "I will buy candy, but I will not eat the candy." Final frame, there's candy wrappers there. You can see the artist drew her mouth full and like quaking. So you know that mouth was going. And by the wrappers, you knew she was well into that bag of candy. And it just said this. It said, "Eat, eat, eat." And then behind it, it said, "Fat, fat, fat." So we know that Nancy has once again self-loathed herself into a position, artificially thinking that she could overcome this battle, but step by step, categorically messing the whole thing up until she's back at that low place again in her life. And now the artist can draw another story for Nancy next week. And that stuck with me. Why? Human nature. The human condition. It's hopeless without Jesus Christ. So question, where did Nancy, right here at fat, and Nancy right here, I'll go to the grocery store. Go to the grocery store, won't buy candy. Go down the candy aisle, won't buy candy. I'll buy the candy, I won't eat the candy. Eat, fat. Where did Nancy go wrong? I heard, who said grocery store over here? Somebody, what did you say before you said grocery? Frame one. It was in her mind already. I'll go to the grocery store. She knew what was at the grocery. She wasn't going for the broccoli. She was going for the candy. But she tested herself. Why? Because it was interesting and she was curious. Same problem we have. Things get interesting. Things get curious. There's this story, and some people say it's not true, but now there's video of it. And when I was a youth pastor, I had this book of all these examples of things, and we called them object lessons. They were really good. They're fascinating. You're like, man, I could just read object lessons and figure out a scripture to go with it instead of having scripture and getting an object lesson. It's like, I was young then. I was like, man, the story of this is so cool. But I remember is how to catch a monkey. And the story is that these natives would take a gourd and they would hollow out a hole in it. And inside of that hole, it would be just big enough for a monkey's paw to go inside. And then they would put it on a tree where they knew monkeys went all the time and fastened it to the tree. So monkeys were going there, very curious. So what the monkey would do is he would stick his hand in the hole, and inside there they would put nuts or fruit. And they would watch it like hunting. And how the monkey's in there trying to figure out how to get it out, like, they would rush the monkey. And the monkey was not smart enough to let go and be free. What he would do is grasp the nuts or the fruit.
That's impossible. I'm just telling you. It's not going to happen. That hurts. So quit. Well, I'm trying to make my point.
Have you ever seen anybody struggle? And you're like, stop struggling. Let it go. Now, doesn't that feel better? I see it all the time. I see it right here occasionally, but I get the phone calls about it. I hear the stories about it. And it's as simple as let it go.
I can't.
Just let it go. Just quit. Scripture right here says you can, says he'll help you. Finally, talk them out of it. Until next time. Guess where the hand's at? Same place it was last time. Guess what they're holding on to? Say it louder. Same thing as last time. I can rebuke the thing. I can tell God about it. I can say it's never going to happen again. And it's not magic. But magically, it found its way into the hand again. But wait a second. It wasn't out here. It was in there. And curiosity made me go right back. And I can imagine what might not be there is integrity, because nobody's looking. So can I bring it to our household now so we don't just feel like this is Uncle Jerry and everybody knows Uncle Jerry's got an addiction. And Uncle Jerry's just like that monkey. And he can't let go of that fruit. I want to take a mirror and pass it around and introduce you to Uncle Jerry. I think that's everybody. Wait, let me come up with something different so I can include the children too. Oh wait, we got senior citizens in the room. Let's include them too. Wait. Okay, we got pastors in the room. We got people in ministry. We got people that take the stage in leadership, but let's include them. Oh. I think we've included everybody. Let's take children under 1 year of age. My own granddaughter. Just last week, I was holding her. And she's looking for a toy. And all of a sudden, she saw my phone. And she touched it. And she knew something was supposed to happen. And she's looking at it. And then it comes up. And she just kind of gets like a half smile. A child is so expressive. She wasn't doing anything wrong. But she doesn't have to. Because wrong will find her. Unbelievably destructive in our lives. I remember somebody saying to me, Pastor John, do you know that Facebook is like in almost every divorce case, Facebook comes up in the divorce hearings now? Cindy, you've done investigative work. You know this is true. But just, I don't know that there's any case anymore as far as infidelity is concerned that doesn't involve just the phone, text. So deadly. Deadly. I can start the statistics game with you. And I can start talking about how evil some things are, and you are right. They're evil, they're evil, they're evil. But if you pull yourself back into a hole from everything that has evil connotations, you'll be in the hole by yourself. That is not a bad place to be, but you can't stay there if you're going to survive. Have you ever heard of an elimination diet? An elimination diet, if someone's trying to lose weight and they go on an elimination diet, there's an elimination diet that guaranteed will cause them to lose weight, like unbelievable amount of weight, just by eliminating all food. They'll lose more weight than they ever imagined. And then they'll die. And there would have been nothing to accomplish there. At some point on the elimination diet, there has to be one thing that they hold to that they can sustain them. And they've actually found that they think that's working for people. It's an all-beef diet. But what people do is they do that for a while, and then they start adding back fruits or vegetables or Snickers or potato chips by the bag. You see where I'm going with that? Whose responsibility does that fall on? Who's responsible for that? Me. Who's responsible for this? Me telling you it's evil doesn't help. I wish it did. Do you know that sometimes I preach sermons knowing full well there are some that aren't going to hear it? Why? All I can tell you is that's what the Bible said would happen. It'll fall on deaf ears. If I know who it is, I can go to them and get in their face and yell and scream and holler, and it's not going to change anything. Quivering lip, it's a good sign. I used to hear that. People used to report. I don't know. Sometimes I felt like, why do people report things to me? I've had other people report things to me. I had a preacher one time. He wanted to preach. He was becoming a preacher, but he'd tell me every time he preached, and I'd say, well, how did it go? And he'd say, well, people were crying. And I'd say, well, how did it go? Because people cry for different reasons. They might have wanted you to shut up. But the Bible says that the unfaithful are trapped because of evil desires. So they're stuck right here between their nature and their conduct. I can't untrap you. All I can tell you is that there's a choice. This produces this. And this produces this. Likewise, this produces this. And that produces that. Just does. It's God's principles. You can't change that, but you can be changed. The scripture plainly says, to those who believe, he has given them the power to become sons of God. The power to become embodies the word change. It doesn't say I'm pulling for them. It doesn't say from heaven I will sprinkle my magic fairy dust on them and they'll be changed. It's a choice. And it's a choice of obedience. And anything that is not obedience by definition is disobedience. And from Eve, I can blame it on anybody I want to. And I do. That's the lowest hanging fruit there is to blame it on somebody else. My wife, my mother-in-law will tell y'all, John loses his keys. The first thing he says, where'd y'all put my keys? And they're located in my pants in my room because that's where I left them. But I don't want responsibility for that. I want them to have responsibility. And I'll do it again, and I'll do it again, and I'll do it again. That's the human condition. It's not attractive. It's kind of comical until it's not. Until she gets blamed for losing my keys. And I didn't lose your keys. You know I didn't lose your keys. You know you left them like somewhere like you always do. Honey, I'm sorry. I'm such a jerk sometimes. I apologize. Responsibility leads me to this. And I got to come back to this later. Adam and Eve, Jesus and Satan, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Pull that one up. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Adam and Eve in the garden. When the serpent came to Eve, he presented her with this: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. In the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus, as far as you take that word, tempted, offering whatever, attempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. As people, it says we, when we are led astray, it will be by our own lusts, or our own cravings, or our own desires. The Bible says that clearly in James 1, 12 through 16, but I'm not going to go there. We're going to go right here. 1 John 2, 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. That's pretty cut and dry. Now it gives this. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. One more scripture. The world and its desires, or otherly translated, lust. The world and its lust, those lusts are passing away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. What I want you to grasp, and I'm closing, I promise I'm not closing for 30 minutes. I'm closing right now. Come on, Christine. What if you knew all the devil's tricks? What if you knew all the devil's gimmicks? Would you feel like you had an advantage? I don't like having an advantage and giving it up. I like having an advantage and using that advantage. Do y'all like having advantages? I know in the game of tennis, when they get to a point where it's tied, the next point does not win. The next point gives one side an advantage. And then the next point for that person can win the match, or it can go back to being tied again, and that advantage can switch back and forth. I do not like losing my advantages in life. I'm about to hit you with an advantage. Because I just read it in His Word. When it says all that there is in the world, there's only three ways the enemy will trick you. And you cannot afford to have a foot in both kingdoms or he'll get you. But the Bible plainly says all there is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the three. It was there in the garden with Adam and Eve. It was there when Satan tried to tempt Jesus. You think that he didn't pull out his best? It's Jesus. You think he didn't pull out his best? But his best was his only. A matter of fact, it says this. When everything is revealed and that certain serpent, the devil, is exposed, you know what it says that the nations will say about him? Like, question, like, You're the one who deceived the nations. You're the one. It wasn't like he was so overpowering. I couldn't help myself. He made me do this, and I had no other choice. And so you should forgive me, God. Nope. That's what deceived you. You know why? Because it will be your own lust. And it'll be the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. It'll be something that you see, or something that appeals to you, or something that sets you up for more than somebody else. And those right there will be right in the middle, where there always are. Cravings and desires. Everybody has those. You got those right now thinking, where am I going to go eat in a few minutes? Well, where's the craving desire? Do I feel Italian? Do I feel Mexican? Do I feel just a good old burger? Do I want a steak? Wherever I go, I'm having pie. You can believe that. Those are always inside of us. You get to direct them, or they direct you. This doesn't just happen. It comes from someplace. I sit up there and preach it to y'all like a champ, and I'm in the exact same boat with you. All my sermons are right here. Woo. All my sermons come to me. I got to make the same choice you do, and I will be the only one responsible for my choices. And I won't be able to stand in front of the Lord and say, you know that woman you gave me? She lost my keys. He'd be like, God, please, I don't want to stand in front of him on that day, knowing what I know. I just got to pick this back up next week, but you can put filters, you put safeguards, stop gaps. I think that's a word. I like that word, stop gap. You do all kinds of stuff except elimination diet it. I know you live by it. I know you got to have it for your business. But you better, by God Almighty, help you be so careful when you understand the nature of this thing will take you to hell. And you'll pay the bill for it, about $100 a month. Yeah. I'll tell you what you do. Call me anytime you want to. Just give me $100 a month. I'll give you the best advice until the Jesus comes. $1,200 a year, I'll be everybody's coach. Won't matter. You're going to do what you're going to do. I wish I could change it, but I'm telling you, he said he will give you the power to become sons of God. That has to do with reflection of him. That has to do with representing him. That's all I got till next week. I wish I could say, go back to my little secret stash of oil. Say, anybody struggling, come right here. Woo! I can't. That'd be a spiritual calisthenic. This is yours to work. I'm telling you this because I love you, and I'm telling you because I know, and I'm telling you because I'm human just like you are. But I don't That thing's like a rattlesnake to me. I'm so suspicious. I tell my wife all the time, I wish I could just have them flip phones. I remember when I couldn't stand it when my boss gave me a pager. Now she find me everywhere, and that thing buzzing, and why didn't you answer? You heard it buzzing. What I've been shocked by, I got to say, for next week, y'all been shocked by this too. You type in a word as you're looking for something, and that stuff comes up. You got an enemy. How are you doing with it? How are we on our integrity when nobody's looking except for He's looking? And He's the one that matters more than anybody. So it doesn't matter if anybody's looking. It matters that He's looking. How are we doing with that? I don't know. Should I break out statistics? All our critics aren't wrong. All of them aren't wrong. You might fall in pretty good in some categories, but all of our oldest to youngest. Prince of the power of the air. I can send you a message and it'll travel through the air and it'll get you. It might go there and there, but it'll get there. And on its way, the enemy will have its way with it. Better be careful. I don't even know how to end services like this. This is why closing cost me 30 minutes or cost you an hour. I don't know what to do with it. But I don't want y'all to leave thinking this was funny. I want you to leave thinking this thing is as sobering as it can possibly be, because it's my eternity on the line. And it's my children's eternity. It's my grandchildren's. And what if roots get into them early? Somebody asked me this week, how were your children when you gave them phones? I always answer the same thing. Not old enough. They hadn't reached 100 yet. It's hard. I know it's hard. But His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. God help us. God help me. God help you. God help every one of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your word, and your name is so powerful and so holy, and we must have it. We must have it guiding us every day, and we cannot afford to lose diligence. We can't take breaks. Because this is our very soul, Lord. My integrity has to do with me. It has to do with the boundaries of my life. It has to do with worlds colliding and me stepping from one place to another place and thinking I can tiptoe through there. Lord, your word clearly says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I either am walking in disobedience or obedience. And that tells me wherever I get, step by step, I'll get there. I'll either be obeying an order, I'll be disobeying an order, but I'll go wherever that leads me because of my choice. Just change our purview, God. Awaken my eyes to see. If I have scales over my eyes, please remove them. If my ears are stopped, please unstop my ear. If my spirit has come close to searing, if I've tested the hot iron so many times that I almost don't feel it anymore. If I have won by sticking my hand in the trap and testing the little trip pan over and over, and I've been so successful so many times that I feel like it can't get me, it can, and it will. God, help me to choose this day who I will serve, to get both feet planted on the rock, the solid rock, Christ Jesus, in His kingdom, far away from any territorial lines. Help me to quit running lines, Lord. Quit running boundaries. Quit trying to bump up against a boundary. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.